All right, guys, another Tuesday special edition stream here as we enter best ball playoff season. Have my buddy Eric Beimfor on. Always enjoy doing shows with Eric. We got lots of fun stuff to discuss, including a $1 million sweat that we have on a team we drafted together on stream this summer. We're also going to draft a couple playoff teams, talk through strategy for that, and then wrap up the show with some giveaways. Eric put together a really nice thing for those who have donated to animal shelters. And so we got some big mittens, some merch, all kinds of good stuff. Let's do it.
Bro, I'm telling you, hop in these drafts when these idiot streamers are trying to draft and talk to the chat at the same time. It's so plus EV, bro.
Oh no, I think I accidentally just took Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs. What do we call that? A no-no.
No way. You don't have to set your lineup. That's incredible.
And recently eclipsed 23%, and I'd much prefer it to be in the more 21 to 22% range.
Eric Beimfor, how weird is it to be staring at some of these matchups for week 17 that we quite literally circled on our calendars back in, you know, June?
It's so funny because it was the thing, like, it almost became a bit, right? Among the 50 other things that became bits of all the drafts that we did throughout the summer. And it was like, oh, cool. Cowboys Cardinals, right? That was the big thing, Cowboys yeah. Cardinals. And now we're sitting here between you and I, a team that we actually drafted together on a stream with a Cowboys Cardinals team with a shot to win $1 million. So I guess it's nice for it to finally be here and not be this theoretical nonsense that we're talking about in week 17. But on the, you know, it's just funny. It's a perfect culmination of the last, 7 months.
Yeah, I know. It really is. It's awesome to have a team. Of course, the one team either of us got through, we needed our joint powers together to get through here. So I did pull it up on the screen for those of you listening to the audio version of this. I'll just run down the team real quick. It's Dak Prescott, Mac Jones at quarterback, Mostert, rest in peace, at running back, but Sony Michel, Rashad Penny, James Conner, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison at wide receiver, Jamar Chase, MVS, Rondell Moore, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Gabriel Davis, Keenan Allen, Michael Gallup, tight end, Kyle Pitts, Hunter Henry. I don't know, man. I'm ready to go to battle with this team. I think it's a pretty fun one.
I think it's like kind of everything you look for in these tournaments, almost, like, to get a team through that has zero of the league winners, right? Like, literally, basically zero. No JT, no Cooper Kupp, no Mark Andrews, no, you know, Fournette. I guess it's been a few weeks. Obviously, some of those teams might have died off. I guess, you know, Devontae, the Debo's not even on there. There's no one, right? There's none of the guys that you would expect to have on a team that gets through, but it was just lucky enough, right, to avoid any major. I guess it is also kind of funny, right? Raheem Mostert is the first guy basically to get hurt the entire season. He gets hurt on his first snap or whatever it was of the season. And you think, oh God, now this team is already going down the drain in the first quarter of the season. But other than that, it's like stayed mostly healthy and has gotten just enough out of kind of every little guy. You get Sony and Penny emerge, right? It's just been kind of the perfect combination of players, even though none of the guys are the right, the Cooper Kupps or the Debos of the world.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at the kind of stuff that we need to take this down, I mean, I think, are we sweating bullets of Cam Akers suiting up this week?
I don't think so. Maybe I'm a little biased because obviously we need Sony, and I have to imagine Sony is not going to be very popular in this thing. So that's also fairly exciting. So yeah, trying not to be too biased, but I think from everything that I'm reading that they were just kind of doing Cam Akers a solid with the pension thing. You know, he has to be active for 3 games in order to, or be on the roster or whatever it is, the rule is, to accrue a year for his pension. And I think that's what they were doing. But then Henderson goes down and it does start to be a little bit concerning. But I think it's probably just wheels up Sony this week.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, we have the fun stuff. You know, we have our Dallas stack here. Dallas doubled a Lamb and Gallup, feeling good about that. We have James Conner, Rondell Moore bringbacks. Not as much hope for Rondell Moore, you never know. But the James Conner versus Chase Edmonds backfield situation is pretty interesting too.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Chase Edmonds pops up last week when Conner doesn't play, which, you know, I assume Conner is going to be back this week. And so I lost to a Chase Edmonds team in my best BBM that was in the semis last week. I think he was kind of a low key big helper for some teams last week. So you might see some Edmonds, and then you get Connor coming back. We know what Connor does at the goal line, right? If they happen to get down to the one, I imagine it'll still be back to Connor season. So yeah, I guess they use Rondale a little bit down there too, right? So you just have kind of a lot of fun little pieces on this team that I'm definitely super. We were messaging about it like kind of during the week and on Sunday. Like I'm super, super excited. This is, you know, I'm sure everybody that gets through is excited, right? But if you have the same Bengals stack as everybody and you have JT and you have Cup, it's like you start flipping coins, right, to get there. Whereas this team, you know, has, I think, a lot of outs to do some damage.
Yeah, and probably the least unique part of this would be our Dallas double stack, just because I assume a decent amount of those Dallas teams got through last week with that big game. But then you look at all those other pieces, like you said, you know, if we get the Cooper Kupp down game and Sony Michel's gobbling up the touchdowns, if you get Mark Andrews and Kelsey not doing much, we have like probably two of the better tight end spots you would want outside of some of those studs there too. So like a lot of spots where the field is dependent, where we kind of have like an anti-fragile way to benefit if those fail.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, this isn't like something you can seek out, right? It just naturally kind of happened this way, but it's just, you know, we had another bit from the offseason, right? It's three uncorrelated small field DFS tournaments. And what would you want going into the final one? You want like as low ownership as possible. And I think we achieved that about as well as you could, right? Like you said, Dak thing, and I'm sure Devontae will be there. But in general, you know, I mean, it might be the only Keenan Allen team, you know, and the matchup isn't amazing for Keenan Allen, but there's no Mike Williams, and they have to win. The Chargers have to win out, you know. So we just kind of got lucky on a lot of different things, you know, coming together. Sony, obviously, I mean, when we drafted Sony, he was on the Patriots. So to get this run out has been pretty good. And then obviously Penny, I don't know how many Penny teams he's really emerged here, but he did so little over the course of the entire season. You know, it's really tough to say. So yeah, anyway, another way of saying, I think it's going to be fun. I'm really excited to see all the teams, right? I want to pull in all the teams and just kind of dissect them, not just for the sweat, but for obviously for our kind of like content purposes and stuff. Cause I'm really going to kind of be fascinated to see how much overlap and everything there is. I feel like, I don't know what you think, this year in particular, with like so many players dropping like flies, I feel like kind of the fringe guys, there's going to be quite a bit of diversification around those fringier guys. Like you'll see a random Keenan Allen, you'll see a random whoever, but like it's going to be so heavily dominated by like Andrews, Cup, JT, probably Debo. Those guys. Yeah.
I was actually just looking through some of the FFPC like main event teams, and it's literally all those, like all the best teams have JT, Cup and Debo on them. And that's just how it's going to go. So this thing is fairly unique. I love that Eric was rewatching the stream where we drafted it. I haven't got back, but the one thing I always remember is us debating Kendrick Bourne or Sony Michel. I don't remember. Obviously we took Devontae Adams 103. Was there anything else really interesting about that draft?
I mean, obviously it was zero running back. The only thing I ever remember is the Patriots thing. We got so many questions about Devontae because people were really, I think, a little bit triggered by the Devontae thing because of him and his like crazy roller coaster ADP over the course of the offseason. They're like, how can you take Devontae Adams second overall or whatever it was when he went like late second round on some teams? And I think this season has been, I'm trying to like do some lessons learned and stuff like that. And I think that thing that we did there, and then doing like the Sony at the end, right? Those were the two biggest lessons I think I had, this kind of like texture, if you will, you know, around the top, where like honestly, the first two rounds, and probably there's gonna be some borderline cutoff. The first round, like these guys are all the same. Like it really doesn't matter that much, you know, just get your but I don't want, right? Like we saw this year, if you have Dalvin, he's been fairly good. You could have got a Dalvin team through. I think I saw some people posting those. But if you have all Dalvin with AJ Brown, or you have all Dalvin with whatever, Allen Robinson, it's like you're drawing dead, even though you had a guy that was a good pick. And so that thing, and then like the Sony thing at the end, like, you know, it happened to make sense on this team that we were doing, but mixing through those late round guys, probably a little better than I did this year. Those were kind of, this draft encapsulated kind of the two big lessons I think I learned.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, you know, if you had any other kind of big macro takes. Obviously, you dove in headfirst even more so than in previous years, and launching Spike Week and just kind of pouring all your blood, sweat, and tears into best ball. You know, I know for a lot of us, it seemed across the board like advance rates were down compared to last year. You know, we also had lots of debates in the offseason about like approaching this as a Millie Maker type tournament, with how you need to approach that from a strategy standpoint. Are there any other kind of big takeaways that you're thinking about as we head into next year's contest?
Yeah, I haven't. The big thing I want to research is kind of the debate we've had with a bunch of like super, super sharp people, right? The advance rate kind of conversation. I think figuring out a way to take that further, right? My mission, like you said, is treating this like a Millie Maker, like an insanely massive field, top heavy tournament. And when all of my competitors are just so focused on making the playoffs, right? And like figuring out the levers I can pull to be able to do that. The big one for me that always stuck out, I think we talked about this a little bit during the offseason, was like stacking without the quarterback, basically. So giving myself so many outs to these different stacks, and but doing it like across the board. So like one that could have worked just outrageously well this year that nobody ever would have dreamed of doing or wanted to do was like the Raiders. You get to the end of your draft, it's like, you went robust running back. It's like you get to the 14th round. It's like, okay, I'll take Bryan Edwards. Do I like Bryan Edwards? No, not really. But like, whatever. I take Bryan. He's the best available wide receiver. It's like, just take Hunter Renfrow, because you're creating this secondary stack, just like we would do in like any other format of this type of thing. But we get so stuck on our guys, right? At each, you know, we have our rankings, we have players that we prefer, whatever. And building in those little, like we talked about the week 17 thing, but I want to build in additional correlations to that, right? Like, give me a secondary Raider stack. Like, what happens if Darren Waller goes down? Poof, we just saw Bryan Edwards get some usable weeks. Hunter Renfrow is like one of the best picks in all of fantasy. And so some of those little things, to just tiny little like correlation and levers I can pull within each team that, you know, maybe everybody else is just drafting off rankings. And I'm like, okay, well, if I took this guy, I'm going to take, you know, we were doing it a little bit with playoff stacking, but I think we can do better about little correlations like that within teams for these tournaments, right? If I'm doing 12 man sit and goes or whatever, like, I don't really care about that. I'm just trying to rack up volume and win as many as I can. But in this, I think we need to be just a smidge more thoughtful about that. And that's just one example. There's probably some more too, but that's what I want to dig into.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, my big, you know, thing that I've been thinking about is, you know, just kind of my overconfidence on some of how I was rounding out stacks and those, you know, fourth, fifth options, you know, whether like a good example would probably be like, I was drafting so much Olamide Zaccheaus as like my toss into my Atlanta stacks, when it's like, I should have been sprinkling in a little more Cordarrelle Patterson. Granted, he didn't have the kind of positional advantage you would have liked how he was classified, but still that like same thought of, am I actually that confident on that? And I think this team that has like a Sony Michel and Rashad Penny, there was a lot of ambiguity in that backfield, and you would have been just as justified taking stabs on the other late round running backs heading into the season. But just mixing that up across these rosters and not being like, every time, all right, Olamide's the highest ADP, he's the most logical guy, because the chances of him hitting versus, you know, even what's their other guy, Christian Blake or whoever, like aren't actually that great.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I think to kind of further that point, the late round stuff is definitely a big one, where we're having a conversation in the Spike Week Discord, kind of people were talking about, like, some people were on CPAT or on Renfrow or on whatever, Elijah Mitchell, right? Eli Mitchell. And being like, thinking those guys through and all of the situations of even these undrafted guys, right? Eli Mitchell, like thinking, I'm not saying this process would have got me to Eli Mitchell, but he just happens to be an example that would have got you there. Like, why, if I'm willing to take, right, we were taking like random shots on, let's say, like Colin Johnson or Olamide Zaccheaus, or like, you know, like we were taking like second and third Lions wide receivers. Why can't we take, you know, a similarly like long shot, you know, CPAT, or a similar long shot like Eli Mitchell was like the third, we thought he would probably never play, but he was the third running back for the 49ers. We were excited about the 49ers. Clearly, everyone on the 49ers went in the top eight rounds or whatever, I guess, besides Lance. And so, like, I want to be more thoughtful about those guys, mainly when they have upside, right? I think we can do a fair enough, like the fourth Giants wide receiver, probably not a big deal worrying about them, but a player like CPAT, a player like Eli Mitchell in that offense. And I'm struggling to think of some of the other ones, but like those
like
guys,
like Ramondre
are,
Stevenson on,
no,
on
Ramondre, the great example. Yeah. Yep, exactly. We know that if Ramondre gets on the field, he has a lot of upside for that offense. So identifying those, as opposed to, I mean, it's also like I'm still very bitter about the whole Darrington big dog thing. You know, it's like I went very overboard, partly for the brand equity, but like I went overboard on that one because it was like the payoff was just so absolutely so massive. And like I feel like we saw that. It was just the Darrington died before the big dog did. And so, but I do think mixing around all those situations, I think, is something we have to get better at.
Yeah, Berto. That one hurts, man. That one hurts. And the funny thing is then early on, it's like, oh, actually, it was supposed to be Quez Watkins, and it's like, well, Quez Watkins isn't winning anyone anything either. Let's transition here now to our playoff best ball contest. Underdog already filled up one of their early ones. We now have a big mitten. The other current mitten right now is a little over half full, maybe even three quarters full. We have a gauntlet. How much have you been diving in head first to this, or are you kind of more hoping the playoff picture solidifies?
Definitely diving in head first. You know me, I don't care about the playoff. Yeah. I was drafting BBM teams, you know, in late April or something like that. I don't care about any of this solidifying. I like the fun of the uncertainty, right? Like sometimes you get lucky on, you know, I was drafting 49ers or Bengals or whatever, and you get lucky and okay, now they got their playoff spot locked up. Or early on, the Bucks were like super, super cheap. They were like, I mean, I got like all my Bucks. Now, of course, Godwin goes down and that really stings, but got like all my Bucks out of the way. And now they have like five guys in the first two rounds, right? So there's a lot of fun to drafting before you know, everything gets solidified, but I'm definitely spreading it out over the course of these few weeks. And it's nice that we're getting a bunch of different tournaments. It's maybe the most fun format, actually, I think, like in terms of strategy. And you know, there's almost no way you can really totally go wrong as long as you're correlating and stuff. So I really like the fun of that.
Yeah. And it does. It's like, you know, the people who are blasting off early, as we always say, better chance at building a super team, but you're going to have a lot more Chris Godwin, you know, landmines on those teams as well. So it's a trade-off, and I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. I think you're completely justified too, if you kind of want to wait for things to solidify a bit, especially with, I mean, how many I was going over this with John Boy last week. I mean, so many of these backfields, like legit ambiguity, whether for just who's going to take it over versus even injury stuff, COVID. I mean, you can take all kinds of different positions on these backfields.
It's crazy. Again, we say this about everything and every season. Like, I don't remember this being a thing, like going into the playoffs and like, I mean, even so, like Derrick Henry would be a guy we would classify as a non-ambiguous backfield, but we don't even know exactly when he's going to be back. And so it's like, and now Austin Eckler is not, you know, it is a very clear certain situation in the Chargers. We don't know if they're going to make the play. They got to win some games to make the playoffs. There's like, other than Jonathan Taylor, who is like, I mean, they're not a lock for the playoffs. And how excited are we about the Colts making a run? There's really no backfield, honestly, that you're like even excited for. So the running back thing is just wild to go through, but that does open up, you know, a lot of possibilities. I think on some of these teams to do, I got a little lucky. I was doing quite a bit of Daryl Williams because of that. I was doing quite a bit of Devin Singletary because of that fact. Sony was another one. Just punt off the running back position and take that flyer on the good team. Like that draft, I just so happened to be betting on the Rams. Sony Michel goes in the ninth round. Just put him on there and see what happens. And obviously those situations have worked out. There's other ones maybe that haven't worked out so much, but I think there's a ton of different ways you can go. And the running back position is definitely like the skeleton key to these, because how you construct that team, how you fill that running back position is like super important. And it's very difficult. So the fact that it's so difficult is what, you know, kind of drives a lot of fun strategy around your teams.
Yeah, and it's kind of the whole thing of how we think about running backs in general. Like, it's going to be much easier to find a ceiling performance late in your underdog playoff best ball draft at running back than it is from wide receiver. We saw Chris G last year won the gauntlet with nailing Leonard Fournette, a very kind of fragile backfield situation with his last pick. There are lots of candidates for that this year. I think Darrell Williams is an awesome suggestion. But it's going to be very hard to find a wide receiver who's putting up 20 plus points a game for 4 weeks through the playoffs. That's almost impossible.
They're all there's interesting guys to our season long discussion. There's interesting wide receivers like to include onto your stacks right at the end. All the Bills guys go pretty late. You know, there's some guys to toss in at the end. You know, even like your Byron Pringles or something like that, which I don't like Byron Pringle anymore. He buried me in the big dog. Losing to Byron Pringle and Isaiah McKenzie. I lost to an Isaiah McKenzie, Byron Pringle team. So that was a good way to go out.
Wow.
In best ball. But those
I didn't
guys,
even know people were drafting Isaiah McKenzie.
and lost it in a big dog on a big dog team. And Isaiah McKenzie, 22 point game or whatever it was. I lost by 2 points or something like that. So that was not ideal, but you can include Isaiah McKenzie. Like, I mean, there's all kinds of different guys at the end you can, you know, tack on, but none of these guys are, you know, all the premium wide receiver scoring is coming in those first four or five rounds.
I say we just talk this through on our feet, maybe hop in a mitten draft or two here. We could talk theory without drafting, but I feel like it's always best just in practice here. So if you guys want to hop in a mitten draft with us, we can kind of talk this out as we go. Do you have a favorite spot you like to draft in so far?
So it has changed a little bit. ADP has really, really shifted a lot. One thing I was actually doing a good bit is there's mid round NFC teams you can stack up. And so I liked picking late in the first round because, you know, everybody's going to take your Rams, you know, Cup, Devontae, right? And then the Chiefs would all go. And I was employing a lot of like bullying the running back position for a little bit. So like taking one extreme or the other, right? Like we talked about doing the Sony thing, the Darrell Williams thing, whatever. I would also do the opposite. Like give me this, because the AFC has those three superstar running backs, basically. Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, and Derrick Henry. And the way the ADPs aligned, you could just get those guys and you could get another like secondary piece on that team and then make your stain, you know, your main stack, like the Cowboys, or even if you wanted to do like the Rams without Cup, that's not ideal, but you could do that. You used to be able to do the Bucks even with that team. You know, you can do the Cardinals. There's a lot of the Niners, obviously. And like, I was rotating through this kind of like bully running back thing. And so it's another extreme, right? Doing the punting the running back or doing this kind of extreme strategy. I like both of those.
I agree with that too. I've been liking, you know, either getting one of those few, you know, bell cow running backs or just tacking on the running back on the team that I'm kind of playing to get to the Super Bowl. I'm gonna guess that you're mostly a one QB guy.
Almost all one QB.
All right, so what do you think here at four? Jonathan Taylor goes, so we have our choice of Chiefs. Anything else standing out to you here?
I still like Tyreek the best.
I am definitely down with that. And then are you a Mahomes in round two with him if he makes it back, or how do you normally play that?
So if he makes it back, I'll look at it, mostly because I'm trying to like get as many entries in as possible. Yeah. So I'm willing to do so, but I generally, okay, he goes, I actually prefer kind of skipping Mahomes and just setting up as much flexibility as possible. So CeeDee would actually be my favorite guy here.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And that's the
kinda
thing
like
too.
Kind of like we did in the regular season, right? Like you just keep your flexibility. Like a lot of people will be like, okay, I took guy in the first round. That's my stat. Like that's gotta be my main stack. And I kind of try to do the opposite. Like, let it play out a little bit sometimes and see what the room gives you.
Yeah. And that was the thing too, of thinking about even interesting stuff. A lot of people who take digs always stack with Josh Allen. Not that that's bad, but like, it's also completely viable to build without that or to not have digs and backdoor an Allen stack without digs. Like, I think people do get funneled towards the same combinations early a lot of the time.
Definitely. Okay. So
would this be at a Amari? or
I think we have to take Amari because I don't think Dak's gonna go. Yeah, I would do Amari because I don't think somebody's gonna take Dak from us, especially if we also scoop up Amari. That's another thing people won't do. You know, sometimes you get burned, but like right. pushing it a little bit and trusting the room that they're also correlating their teams, and so like nobody's taking an unstacked Dak Prescott, so that allows us to take Amari, whereas someone might take, you know, and you can take Amari, you know, unstacked, right? Have him as like a secondary correlation or something.
Right. Yeah. I don't like the double QB early here by DJ Q. No. Sorry, DJ, if you're watching.
And I guess the, you know, if you take Mahomes, I think the Chiefs get the bye too. So that's another reason I don't love taking Mahomes. I prefer one QB and then I do expect they'll get the bye probably. And so he's trying to shield against that, but I would rather it be a cheap, you know, a cheaper quarterback. I mean, even like Kyler is cheap. You can take Kyler late.
Right. And so now, I mean, now that we have Dallas, we just go ahead and get just Dak and be done with it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I like to be as risky as the next guy, but there's not a lot of need to push it any further than this, than the fourth here.
Yeah. I mean, it's like V Young here, because you never know, he could end up doing like a Zeke Dak kind of thing coming back. And then we're like, mm-hmm. you know, why were we messing with that?
Yep.
Let's see here. So we got DraftBot here has a Packer stack out of the gate. I was inverted here with a Ram stack and then kind of picking some AFC guys. What are you thinking here for? I mean, would you want to tack Zeke onto this Dallas super stack?
Or wait
on Pollard?
It's viable. I would rather wait on Pollard or see if Zeke falls or fill running back from our secondary teams.
It's also what's going on? Why is Eckler still available?
Because they're not, everybody's out on the, I've been taking a ton of the Chargers. So like, I'm totally cool. If you want to take Eckler here, everybody's out on them because they're not a lock to, you know, they need a little help to make the playoffs, but I'm scooping that up.
I am too. Just again, we're talking about, you know, if things break right, how thin bell cow running backs are. And it also sets us up to, we can still tack on Pollard as a second running back.
Yep.
Cause now we're basically playing a Dallas Super Bowl and we have lots of flexibility for whether it's Chargers Chiefs against them.
Yeah. And so it's probably not going to work because we're talking about it while we're doing on a stream, but this is where I love like, okay, so you have your Chargers now, like Mike Williams is going to be a priority target, right? Cause I want to have the secondary of them. And then like Daryl Williams or CEH, I actually prefer Daryl to CEH in this particular format, but honestly, either way is totally fine. And they're also filling that running back position for you. So you're not forced into Zeke or, you know, sometimes people do that. And I like to do that too, right? Include the running back on my team I'm making my stand on, but you also don't have to do that. Like, and I don't want to feel forced to go reach for Zeke or something like that when I can get, you know, like if the Chargers make the playoffs, Eckler is probably one of the best picks in this whole thing, but the uncertainty is pushing him pretty far down.
And that's what makes, you know, doing these drafts at different points over the next couple of weeks so fun, is because you get these dips. All of a sudden the Chargers win this week, or say, you know, the Ravens lose, as Kron says here, and all of a sudden his ADP shoots back up three rounds.
Mm-hmm. He was going in like the second round.
Yeah.
Eckler was, and Herbert was going in like the fifth. And now Paul, I was inverted, who's in here. He's doing a ton of these. He's like, Herbert's not getting drafted sometimes.
So these guys are just like begging us to take Zeke.
Now I feel like we have to take Zeke, and I hate taking Zeke, but this is also like, if they're going to give them to us super, super cheap, you kind of just take it and roll with the punches.
Yeah. And so now on Dallas, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, for kind of your ideal builds, are you like on this one, are you thinking maybe like a 5-3-2 or a 4-3-3?
I do almost exclusively 4-3-3s or 4-2-2-2s.
Okay.
Is like, you know, obviously you can't get everything to work your way perfectly, but those are the two structures I prefer the most. I think it's like the combination. You and John Boy talked about it too, and that's I've talked about it. This format is like, you have to thread this needle between giving you the first place equity and getting there, right? And I think those two structures are the ones that give you the best to do so.
Yeah, Eric, I think that's what we're just talking about, being done with Dallas, and we've kind of already now made our bet on the backfield. And it's like, you know, the way we think about, I think both Eric and I would prefer to have Pollard. Actually, we'll table this. Should we go Mike Williams here?
Mike Williams, yeah.
I think we both just generally, stylistically, philosophically prefer Pollard to Zeke. But it's also like if the market, the reason we generally do that is because the market's generally overvaluing Zeke relative to Pollard. In this case, he ended up becoming the value, and maybe they're price adjusted. You should want Zeke at that cost.
And that happens a lot in these drafts, right? Because ADP doesn't really matter, but everybody kind of feels that way, right? The stack and the correlations come first. And so sometimes you get like Pollard might go one round after Zeke. And like you said, I prefer Pollard like in a vacuum when we're thinking normal values, but when they're that close, yeah, I'm just going to take, you know, the much, much higher projection in Zeke.
So now in this case, what are you thinking as far as 3-3 with Chiefs Chargers or tacking on another fringe two at the end?
I kind of like the fringe two, and you can take shots with there are some cheap teams, or like, so the Bills secondary guys are kind of a team I like to default to back there. Cause there's Gabe Beasley, Knox, Singletary has really started to, I guess he just went Singletary, Manny Sanders, the Patriots are super cheap. So there's some options back there on some secondaries.
So, but when you say Bills, are you're almost playing for like almost like a one and done or two and done, because you probably don't want to be making it to the Super Bowl with not having some of the top couple Bills options, right?
Correct. But it's really just Diggs, right? The Bills, true. It's really just Diggs. And so it's definitely not ideal. I guess.
So we're on the clock here.
Did Daryl go? Oh yeah. He just went right in front of us.
Yeah.
Oof. This is brutal. I actually do think I would take Gabe here.
Okay.
Gabe Davis. Yeah. And so how I like to think about it is, yeah, you're probably losing to, you know, the dig seems what a very, very large percentage of the time, but you still have first place equity. You're getting, you know, and you take two Bills then, right? To give you those two different bring back options. So you get the Cowboys Bills Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, you would really, you're going to be losing to Diggs teams probably most of the time. But if he's not the one that catches the touchdowns, you can win. And everybody else is probably going to have Diggs on those teams. So
we're going to do one more Bills and then one more Chiefs. Do you have a stomach for Pringle or Hardman?
Pringle or Hard. I prefer Pringle, actually, which is feels.
And then gross. Our deep buff options are going to be Sanders or McKenzie.
I guess it's Manny, but
I'll just get Pringle for now.
Yeah, take Pringle.
And so like the way we think about this, you know, based on our stuff is like our number one thing we'd be rooting for is a Dallas Chargers Super Bowl. After that, it's probably going to be Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
Cowboys. And then after that would be Dallas Buffalo. But because in this scenario, we're basically hoping to get a couple of those spike weeks from the Bills to get us out of a couple of these rounds, I would guess.
And I think that's why, like, that's threading that needle on the projection versus stealing thing. And you could also, like, I know we took Gabe there. You could have done something different. You could have done Jared Cook Hardman and just gone 4-3-3 or something. Like, there's just a ton of different ways you can go with this. But I think people are unwilling to do those secondary correlations when they don't have the superstars. And I think I'm a little bit more on the side of kind of just letting it play out. I mean, Diggs could get hurt for all we know, you know, and the Bills guys could get there. So especially at this point in the draft time, right, we still have multiple more weeks. I'm just building out as many different correlations as I can.
So would Sanders or McKenzie, you think Sanders here? That's
tough. Yeah. I almost feel like McKenzie has more upside than Manny, but I could just be really recency biasing this thing.
Well, I also feel like, I mean, Sanders' role in productivity has just been on like a Larry Fitzgerald-esque downturn the second half of the season. I'm fine to go with McKenzie, and we get the bit of Pringle and McKenzie dusting you, and now they bring us to the top.
And now I have to take them. Yeah, I take them on the first team I've drafted since they knocked me out of my best ball season. The other thing would be like Gabe and Manny, in theory, like eat into each other. If Gabe takes this rollover, he's probably taking it from Manny. And so, you know, McKenzie, you know, probably needs something to happen to Cole Beasley. But I mean, you never know. Cole Beasley is probably a pretty probable guy of maybe missing some time for one reason or another.
No, I like that idea of, you know, we're making a bet on the starting outside receiver and the starting slot receiver in this scenario. Yep. And I think Pringle has now emerged in a way that it's pretty clear he's the wide receiver too on that team after Tyreek, and, you know, benefited big time from either, you know, Tyreek extra attention or Kelsey being out, stuff like that. I feel like that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah. I love tossing those guys in at the end. It's like, it feels uncomfortable. Nobody wants to do that. But like, if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, like you're going to want to have Byron or even Hardman, right? If you like prefer Hardman, I think it's Pringle, but you want to have that guy on this team.
The irony of this finish is after we just talked about how we this is how it always happens. We're like, no, you want to be drafting the fringe running backs late because the wide receivers are going to give you the ceiling. Then we go four straight wide receivers in the draft. Yeah.
Well, it is one of your streams. We were never going to, everybody's going to take all the wide receivers and quarterbacks early, and the running backs are going to fall. So we take like the epitome of a guy we would never take. We take Zeke.
Eric, are you offering to be my intern that goes in and names all these drafts for me? I had a stretch during, I think it must have been July or August when Underdog added that, and I made it through about 25 of them, and I was like, I can't do this.
I didn't even start. There's no way. I couldn't do it. I didn't even start on it. Props to the people that did. You're better than I am.
Let's hit a couple of these questions and then we can do one more here. Let me make sure I didn't miss any of these. Lundar asking, if you get Diggs and Allen as your primary, how many total bills are you generally landing on?
Yeah, four. For sure, four. Like you mentioned, you can go to five. I don't really want more than five of any individual team because you're really drawing thin on your secondary stacks. And honestly, you're drawing really thin on your projection too, right? You do need to get there. You got to win 3 weeks to get there, and you're going to need more than just one team, obviously. So five would be the max that I would do. I tend to really, really like, I would say almost all my teams have four and only four of like my main stack. Obviously that fluctuates a little bit if the draft doesn't go your way, but definitely. And the Bills are a great team for four because you get Allen, Diggs, and there's a bunch of options later.
Yep. One more here from Justin. When you take a Green Bay stack with Rodgers, will you then take two QBs? He's of course referencing them having the bye and getting you zero in round one.
Yeah. That's a perfect question for timing of drafts. And like you said, the figuring out kind of the certainty of things and where teams are falling. I'm now starting, as I've looked at kind of the next 2 weeks schedule of all these teams and feeling fairly comfortable with how I think things are going to finish, I do feel pretty strongly that the Packers and Chiefs are going to get the buys. And so I have not up until this point taken a second quarterback with a Rodgers or a Mahomes team, because there was like 3 or 4 weeks left in the season. I was just kind of like, let's just see what happens. You know, if I lose that $5, I lose that $5, who cares? But now I feel like we're getting a lot closer to really knowing. And so I will personally with a Rodgers or a Mahomes team take, but it's going to be somebody like, I really don't actually care who it is. Somebody that's on one of my secondary stacks. I actually prefer it. It's a question for you in the same conference.
Okay.
Because that, like, it's just like almost, you know, in theory, it's like guaranteeing me that Super Bowl team. So I'm I know my secondary stack's going to come from the AFC in this. And now just give me like Kyler or I actually think, again, Paul has been drafting some Trey Lance. I think you could take like Lance in the last round with a 49ers team or something like that. Do some fun things with that secondary team with a cheap quarterback from the same conference.
The second you said Trey Lance, I just thought of that meme with the guy in whatever the video game is where he's like, oh, here we go again. Like us being like, oh, we have an excuse to draft Trey Lance again. Yeah, another good one that would maybe fit that vibe with the Packers would be Jalen Hurts. I mean, Eagles are now 68% to make the playoffs, and he would be a perfect like one-off kind of late QB for that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like how I always think about this stuff is I'm setting up teams how I kind of feel is the optimal way to do things. But as long as you give yourself a team that basically has you know, some story of getting five plus guys to the Super Bowl, right? that's really all that matters. Like it really is all that matters. I think that there's better and worse ways to do that, but, and we're obviously talking about them, but like at the end of the day, like that's what makes this so fun is like, if it's Eagles Titans Super Bowl, like as long as you got five guys there, like nothing else really matters.
And I brought this up with John too, and you know, West Coast Gem earlier saying hard to take a team that just got blown out by Davis Mills and Rex Burkhead. And I get that, but you know, I'm not good at the NFL prediction business, but I think I can be good at saying, if this does happen, how can I benefit? And so that's how we're building all these teams. It's all contingent based. It's all scenario based. And it's not trying to out predict the field on what's going to happen in the playoffs. It's trying to predict or how to benefit from certain scenarios happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have teams I prefer, right? Like I think Eagles is in there, and he mentioned the Cowboys and the Bills. Those might actually be my two favorite teams to draft. Like the Chiefs would be your favorite, but they all go, the three big Chiefs all go super early. Like the Cowboys are like probably my favorite team to draft, but like, I'm just going to have literally going to have everybody. Like I, you know, maybe not so anymore, but like I have teams from the past couple of weeks with like Viking secondary stacks, Saints secondary stacks, like just picking those guys, like, because like you said, I don't know how this is going to play out. And we see teams make runs all the time that are totally, totally unpredictable. My favorite thing about that is no one is saying anything about the Titans. We all feel fairly good about the Titans. They're definitely going to get in. We think they can do some damage in the playoffs. They lost to the Jets and the Texans this year. Like, you know, yeah, they're a lock for the playoffs, and they've lost to two of the worst teams in the NFL. So yeah, I'm not trying to do too much predicting. I'm trying to structure my teams. Like you said, if this hits, how, you know, can I win the whole thing with it?
Yeah. Let's do one more mitten draft, and then we'll wrap up the show with those giveaways here that Eric put together. And thank you guys all for donating. But let's do one more of these. These get very addicting. There comes a point where I was talking about this with John, where it's like, you know, you do three or four, and then it's like, once you get to like six or seven, you're like, oh shit, I'm hooked.
And they're so easy to fire off. You know, you can just, it's not like drafting a BBM or whatever during the offseason that takes you 45 minutes to an hour. These things go so quick. You can like crank out a bunch of them. And the next thing you know, you just did 10 drafts.
Exactly. All right. We drew 105 this time. So similar spot as before. I see some friends in here, Lundar, Updog, Eagles, DeMoney. So, we will battle it out here. Let's see. What are you generally liking from 105? Assuming Cup, Adams, Hill, Taylor are off the board.
I bounce back and forth between, JT is a guy that bounces around all over the place. I actually like taking JT, as weird as that sounds, even though I'm not super bullish on the Colts. It's the running back thing. And then him and Pittman are like the most obvious, easy, concentrated secondary stack. It's like, you know, all you need for them to do is like win a game or two. And that stack pays off so big time for you, obviously advancing you. And then it would allow you to do something with, right, again, Chargers, Bills, whoever your other favorite stacks are. And then it keeps you open. Like, again, that's a flexibility thing, right? Like having that available. And Kelsey, I mean, who doesn't like Kelsey?
Yeah. Who do you think's the best candidate? So I was like looking at Chris's gauntlet lineup from last year, and he had that string of picks where he ripped off Chubb, Mayfield, Landry, yeah, Hooper. Who would be your candidate for, like, you know, super off the board team that gets in two ceiling games? And oh, we'll get a pick here. Wow.
Tyree. Allen and Diggs. I think we should take Tyreek and see
just
if they take
back. Yeah.
And just in case the money doesn't take Kelsey. Cause yeah, you can't get, you like can never get Tyreek and Kelsey. So anytime you get an opportunity to maybe see if it'll happen, I feel like you should do it.
Yeah. We'll let them see there. Yeah, because they can also go with the Kelsey. Okay, so they go Taylor.
This would be fun.
And then it's the other interesting thing. Like, if you end up with Hill and Kelsey, like, who is taking Mahomes there? I guess someone could do. But with CEH injured, too, that's even a less attractive kind of double there.
And what's awesome about those two is like, you don't have to take Mahomes. Like they can be your one of your AFC. Yeah. Just take those guys. See, there you go. Kelsey. Kelsey Hill. That's fun. That doesn't happen very often. So that's fun.
Oh yeah. So back to that question of if you were to load up, if you could get, and let's, because in that draft, Chris did take the two quarterbacks. He had Baker and Brady there. Who's your dark horse for that monster two games?
It's the 49ers. Yeah. It's definitely the 49ers. And everybody, I don't get this. The moment that Jimmy got hurt, all I see on Twitter is, oh, your 49ers players are screwed now because Trey Lance is in there. I'm like, am I watching the same football team? Like, Jimmy G is horrible, is absolutely horrible. He only supports one of those dudes every single week anyway. Like, it's like, remember, right? We're talking, it's like the groundhog or whatever thing. Like, oh, it's Debo week, or oh, it's Kittle week, and oh, it's Ayuk caught a touchdown this week. Like, Jimmy is not good enough to support any of those guys anyway. Trey Lance can actually push the ball down the field and maybe create some more upside with this offense. So I think, you know, if it all falls together for them, and especially if they can get a little healthy on defense to where the, you know, the defense is kind of bad to where they can win some games, you know, with a decent enough defense, I think the Niners could just go nuts.
Yeah. Looks like we're going to get Mahomes unless Eagles wants to double up with Allen and Mahomes, which I don't think he will.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
This is nice.
That
I'm,
is,
I'm,
that
gonna,
is...
I'm sending you 250 right
you did,
now.
You did it last time for the, we actually pulled this off on Ship Chasing a couple of weeks ago too. And it was like one of my first drafts I had done. And so people were mad that I wasn't more excited. I was like, I didn't realize how hard it was to get. All right. So now, what kind of bet do you want here?
Oh man. Are we going to take Zeke again? Cause I kind of like the Cowboys here. He fits running
let's
back.
Let's sit on Zeke. We could do Debo.
Let's do Debo. Let's do Debo. Yeah. I missed Debo the first time. The other thing about Debo is, what are you doing with Eli Mitchell in these? Are you like legit worried about his health long term, or do you think he's like a pretty good dart
at I think he's late? A great dart. You know, the thing I always have in the back of my head was that time, you know, he injures his hands, they say they're going to wrap him up like a club, and it's like, how are they going to use this guy? And it's like, no, then we actually threw the ball to him seven times that week too. So to me, it's like Jeff Wilson has been, you know, a last resort kind of option for Shanahan, but it seems like he loves Eli Mitchell. So I'm completely, if we're making a bet on the Niners to make a run, I'm happy to toss Mitchell into that.
Perfect. Yeah, then maybe we can do a Dallas secondary that has like Pollard or something like that and use him as a late round running back.
And
Kittle would be nice.
And right now, though, we'll have to get a second QB super late too. So this is a Trey Lance team.
Yes, sir.
Look at you, just like you just arrived at what I've been orchestrating all along.
I guess on that, we don't necessarily need to take Mitchell on the Lance team, I guess. We'll see how it gets there, because that would, if we, you know, don't want to get too many 49ers, you know, and have like a four Chiefs, four 49ers, but we'll see how it plays out.
This is Kittle, right?
Yeah, this is definitely Kittle.
Yeah. And that's the also just the awesome thing about it's like, with these ambiguous backfields, like you can let the market decide. Like if people want to push CEH down to us, we can take him. If they want to take him, well, we can get Terrell Williams later.
Yep.
Man. So now we need that repeat of that Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yes. Except Trey Lance actually can complete that 50-yard touchdown or whatever it was that Jimmy missed that.
Yeah, so Mike, you know, he's kind of piggybacking on our conversation we just had before this about taking the same conference QB. Again, Eric, without fail, we talk about a strategic angle and then immediately want to do the opposite, which is take our second QB from the other conference. Every time.
Dolphins, right, Dolphins are interesting. So here's where we want to get to a different NFC team, right?
I mean, AJ Dillon is
the only problem with Dillon is by, you know, we might be loading up on the two bye teams, but I don't have a lot of other good options here.
I know.
Yeah. Let's do Dillon. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So I see what you're saying, that we'll probably need a third running back.
Yes.
If we go one of the Chiefs running backs, like we'll need someone round one.
And like you, yeah. So round one, we need to have enough guys, obviously, right, to win. You know, get, you only have to get top two, right, of six in this group to advance. So we're just making a big bet on the 49ers in the wild card round, and then like two other players from another team. But you do want to have enough bullets in the chamber for that first round to still get top six, right? And so that's why it does get a little hairy with Chiefs and Packers together.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Mike asking if the Patriots are dead to us, I think they're dead to us because we're going to be probably a four bet on the AFC with the Chiefs and then go with a 2-2-2 on the NFC side.
Yeah. Well, except, let me think about this. Yeah, it just depends on what you want to do with Packers because of that bye week thing. Like, how strongly do you feel the Packers get the bye? Because that we need five guys to fill the first round. You know what
right.
I mean? Scoring.
Right. And there's so many, we have so many running back options still.
Yeah.
With Darrell and Eli Mitchell. Let's see, as far as another NFC team to make a bet on, I was just going to say we could, that's a lot of options there with Arizona.
Yeah, let's do Kirk. And that's a good one to, like, we're trying to thread this needle on. We need this Chiefs stack to get through. And Kirk is both the Cardinals can make a run, and he's like a, you know, really strong option projection-wise. Right.
As far as other Arizona options.
I think Ertz, or unless we want the running back. Trying to think here
because we're still probably going to end up with three running backs, right?
CEH and Darrell are still around, yeah.
So we have CEH finally goes. Do we want to lock up Mitchell here?
Well, I think no, because I think we want Lance as I'm trying to do these roster gymnastics in my head, because I think we would just want Lance to be our third niner, right? So I think we need to take Darrell here. Is that right?
I think so. Or the other Cardinals.
Yeah. Darrell or Cardinals, and then come back with Lance and whichever other one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's right. Yep.
Exactly. We were trying to get the chat to do this with us on Zeke and Pollard, and they forced us. Someone allowed us to get our preferred Chiefs running back. Yeah. So now we're set on the Chiefs. And now we're playing this NFC. Basically, we need San Francisco and Arizona to have very big wild card rounds to get us out, and then we'll be cooking.
Just totally feasible.
I mean, Darrell's role has been so good, even with CEH coming in and out of the lineup, how much they use and trust him in the passing game. And then he just has all the contingent upside in the world if CEH isn't ready. I think he's a smash pick.
Yeah, I love him. He's starting to rise a little bit too, but he's still super. I mean, seriously, how many running backs would you even like really rather have when you combine the Chiefs like long, like win equity, basically, you know, Super Bowl equity with his floor and ceiling? Like there's not that many running backs you would even prefer. And he goes, yeah, what, pick 46 or whatever, like.
Seems so like I just realized, should our other Cardinals actually be Chase Edmonds?
Yeah, I think it has to be Edmonds. And then, you know, the hope would be maybe the Packers don't get the bye and then it gives you another running back option. But we need to fill the running back spot. Yeah. And then Lance here, right?
I mean, this is like Lance has his shot this week against the Texans. You couldn't dream up a better matchup for it. I mean, Lance, this is your chance to seize this playoff job. He's got to do it.
I saw a tweet earlier from one of the 49ers beats that said, in his opinion, Jimmy G has played his last snap for the San Francisco 49ers. And I had to walk away from my desk because I was getting a little bit too worked up over here.
Hang on real quick. The chat's reminding me. We might have gotten ahead of ourselves. Should we just take Kyler?
I didn't even realize that Kyler was available. Just take Kyler. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as much as we got to, I mean,
Kyler was going to go undrafted? What is
Kyler
going on?
Is who we were hoping Lance would be, and you and me are like running to draft Lance.
That's great. That's too good.
Yeah, since when does Kyler go in the last round of these?
Everybody's out on the Cardinals. Yeah, yeah. It's the Cardinals and the Chargers. Like, did Herbert get taken? People are very out on the Chargers as well.
Those looks two. Like, yeah, we had a Rodgers, Burrow, a Stafford team, a Tannehill Hurts team, an Allen Dak team, a Mahomes, Kyler, us, and then a Brady. Yeah. Yeah, I like this team now. And the nice thing about Kyler, I mean, now he can really help us get out of round one here.
Yeah, which is, that's what we were drafting Lance for. It was just, I just had assumed basically that Kyler was going to be gone. And obviously we had Lance set up.
Yeah. Where did this team go? It's not showing up. Or did I do a gauntlet?
Unless we did a gauntlet.
No. All right.
It did it to me the other day too, where I wasn't showing up right away when I backed out.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
But yeah, I love how this team turned out here. as far as what we're doing. And hopefully this has been helpful for people just to, as we kind of talk it through on our feet, and even the things we think we are set on, still opportunities can present themselves, you know, later in the drafts.
Isn't that like the fun of all of these is like we're sitting here. I've done tons of these already. I did tons last year. You've done the same. And every draft you go through and on, like, you only have like a minute to think through all the different things you need, right? That you're mapping out, doing all these gymnastics in your head. And, you know, and there's tons of right answers, right? Very few actually wrong answers, but like, you see us like on our feet trying to figure out exactly what the best strategy is. And it sometimes it's really easy and sometimes it's actually not at all, because you have to think about so many different variables within a matter of like 30 seconds.
Yeah. I also should give a quick shout out. I don't know if it's going to pull up here, but I recently got the Roto Grinders extension up on here. I don't know how I can get it to populate right now, but with, if you have the Roto Grinders premium, it'll overlay their projections for these pick'ems and makes it very easy for sniping values. I don't know why mine's not showing up right now, but a very cool tool there.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're working on a ton of fun stuff for underdog, best ball, and pick'em and snake drafts and everything over the next few months.
Oh, here you go. Now it just populated, just took a second here, but you can see here, you can get your Roto Grinders projection right next to the lines. You can see which ones are pretty efficient, maybe see some that are a little off, and definitely makes it easy for pickers. All right, let's do some of these giveaways. Yep. Eric, why don't you kind of set this up, tell the people, you know, the cause that, you know, was close to your heart and what you've been pulling together on Twitter here.
Yeah. So first of all, like, shout out to everybody. Unbelievable response. Just something I was last minute right before Christmas deciding to do, because I always go through and do like some kind of donation to local animal rescues and shelters and stuff, because that is a passion of mine. I am a massive animal fan. And as anyone that has ever watched me on in my own streams, your streams, or whatever, you will hear my dogs. I'm surprised we haven't heard them yet today. They tend to pretty much always make an appearance at some point, barking, playing, or whatever. So big animal lover. And so we rescued them. And since then, it has been a big, you know, big passion of mine, something I want to like work with even in the future once I'm too old to give a shit about all this gambling stuff that we're doing. And so I was like, well, if I'm gonna donate, I can just take part of my donation that I would do and pull in some best ball tickets or whatever. And I knew Pete and I were doing this show, so I would give away some of the stuff from his store, because I knew the listeners would be interested in, and give it away to anybody that kind of gave a donation to one of their local animal rescues or shelters. And like I said, the response has been unbelievable. I don't even know exactly. I've been trying to add people, have been donating while we've been on the show. I've been trying to add them to the list, but we're over 50 people and I have no idea how much money, but I mean, over 50 people donating is just awesome. So the total amount has been great. And so this is what I was putting up. And so you can see the things that we're giving away. Kind of a small deviation. I was telling Pete before the show, if you are watching, we're going to definitely give away the big mitten. Underdog has also put up another big mitten ticket. So we'll have two of the $250 playoff contest tickets, four of the gauntlet tickets, and then the random, all the stuff from Pete's store. Justin Herzig, you know, one of the leaders in the best ball space, put up something from Own the Moment on his, I believe it's anyway, I can't even keep it all straight. There was a bunch of people, and so many people replied with mitten tickets that everyone who donated, we're just going to give a mitten ticket to as well. So we'll spin the wheel for everything that's not a mitten ticket. If you don't win one of these other, like a little bit bigger prizes, you will get a ticket to the mitten on Underdog. So hopefully that's a lot of word vomit, but yeah. It's been a crazy few days of donations and people offering up giveaways and everything like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for organizing that, and lots of awesome comments in here. I'll read a couple of these as you kind of get the wheel set up here. And Coffee, great idea, Eric. I donated at the start of the stream. Hope that wasn't too late to be entered. I think he probably got you. Nick, such a great move, motivated me to donate to our small local shelter. Awesome. Silas says, shout out to Eric as someone with an emotional support dog who is a rescue. It hits near and dear. Gem City donated to his local dog and cat shelter. So awesome job, guys. Definitely appreciate you all rallying behind this cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know what I expected in terms of the response, but it's been unbelievable. So pretty cool to see, you know, a whole lot of probably thousands and thousands of dollars being donated to these shelters. So I got everybody's name here on the wheel. We will spin it. I'll have to double check exactly how many times. We'll start with the two big mitten yeah. tickets, and we'll do two spins at those. So
how are you getting everybody's Underdog names?
I don't know. I'm gonna
at Eric on Twitter here.
Yeah, if I'm jotting all the
Lou Tibbs, nice.
I got to make sure to write these down now.
Yep, I know Lou.
That's good. Yeah, hopefully we just know everybody.
Yeah,
that would be really nice. Otherwise, I'll be finding you. I'll be finding you on Twitter.
Congratulations, right, Lou! $250 mitten entry.
So one more big mitten. Which we should super, super quick. Somebody asked a question in the comments. Do you think that big mitten will fill the $250 playoff contest? The answer is absolutely not. No, I do not. There's zero entries into it right now. Nobody has entered the big mitten. So not only, you know, a free $250 ticket, but I think probably quite a bit of EV.
We should, let's get on the books. Well, you and I will plan on live streaming a big mitten with some of our BBM winnings.
Let's do it. Yes. Okay. Brad Fantasy Football with the second.
Congratulations, Brad.
I will find you on Twitter, Brad.
I think people with the big mitten are, you know, probably similar to how I was with the big dog draft, where it's like, I'm going to fire at this, but I also don't have a big enough bankroll to take guesses on, you know, the Chargers still making the playoffs kind of thing in this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm totally fine. Like, we're taking, you know, I was set to take Trey Lance, right, for $5, yeah. But for $250. Okay. I don't know that I want to do that.
That's the other thing too, that we have to keep in mind. Like, a lot of people are going to be getting their best ball payouts, and that money is going to be in their Underdog account, and there's going to be contests up for them to spend it on.
That is so true. All right. So we have four, we're going to spin it four times for gauntlet tickets, which is the $25 Underdog playoff contest. So we'll hit the first one here.
Yeah. First place in the gauntlet, $200,000. So you can turn in a nice donation into a fifth of a mil.
Brett.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to Brett. Brett is a long, I one of the few people in this space I've met in person. Met him a long time ago from the DFS streets. So I'm happy for Brett. Brett also donated five mitten tickets, so he gets his money back.
There you go. It's a wash trade for Brett.
Yeah. Second one. So three more gauntlet tickets.
Big money, big money, big money.
Oblong.
Oolong.
Oblong. What a phenomenal name.
Congratulations. Three more gauntlet tickets.
Big money.
Joshua Min. If I were you, my handle on Twitter would be Joshua Min Cash. I would have a lot of fun with that.
We know how you love your puns and wordplay.
Yes. I'm sure Eric was furiously adding all the names, so I think you made it. Eagles.
Eagles.
The ultimate best ball grinder, Eagles.
How long before I send Eagles that do you think it gets fired off back into the ecosystem?
He literally just jumped into a draft with his free entry right now.
That's so good.
Thank you, Eagles, for your donation, and thank you for being a pillar of the best ball community.
And Dylan? The last gauntlet ticket to Dylan.
Dylan McPhail, more like Dylan McWin. this is why you guys want me to host your charity auctions, I'm your guy. Plenty more material like that.
So good, because this wheel has the sound effects in the background, you know, but they're only coming through my speakers, but you're talking and it literally sounds exactly like Price is Right or something. You're Drew Carey on Price is Right, but I'm the only one that hears it, and I'm trying not to like laugh the whole time because it sounds absolutely ridiculous.
That's right. I know. I'm normally used to hearing it too. I don't think we have the audio shared. All right. Okay. So
we got a randomizer box. So what I have from your store, and honestly, I'm open to you if there's something you want to change. I just picked the things that I wanted the most. A randomizer box, a snapback, and a thought leader hoodie.
People are more than welcome to pick out whatever hoodie or hat they want. We'll get them a gift card to be able to get those.
Perfect. And Eagle says he'll draft a gauntlet with 10 Bills players. Let me know when you're drafting. I would like to get in that one.
All right. So is this a randomizer box?
Randomizer box.
This also comes with $25 on Underdog as well.
See, there you go. Perfect.
Brian. I recognize Brian's name. Congratulations.
It is crazy, as I was documenting, you know, adding everybody to the list. So this one will be a hat.
Yep.
This one will be for a hat. How many names I recognized from the last 6 months or whatever. Nick?
It's my guy, Nick. Yes. Nick is an awesome dude. So stoked he wins. This was for a hat, correct?
Correct. This was for a hat.
Congrats. Nick was also with me. He hit his Underdog 50X boost pick'em. So Nick is running hot here in December on Underdog.
Yeah. And what did I say the last one was?
Hoodie.
And then the last one will have Herzig's. I don't want to screw up the wording. Herzig added something to it. And like I said,
it was a 10% ownership stake in the Own the Moment.
Yeah, I'm gonna add my name really quick if that is the case. A free TOC playoff best ball pack.
Yeah, I just talked about these with him on the show earlier, but it's a cool concept they're doing where you get these packs and then there's a bunch of cards in there, and then you mint your starting lineup for the best ball playoffs as its own NFT, and then you can either hold that and see if it wins anything, or you can put it up for sale. So if you have a real, if Eric and I were able to put up our best ball mania team for sale, what would the market be around that? So there's a really fun kind of like added element to these rosters with how they're doing that contest.
Love that. Also a great gift for this community. So before we get to that one though, we got a hoodie.
I'm wearing my Opto Bro hoodie from the store. They get rave reviews. They're incredibly comfy hoodies. Who took this down? Justin decked the halls with balls of joy.
And last one, TOC pack. And so, like I said, we'll do this TOC pack, and then I'm gonna go through There's a lot of names on here, and I don't have everybody's exact contact information. I promise I will hit everybody up that replied, and we'll get you squared away with a mitten ticket as well. I will go as quickly as I can, but you know, it may take a day or so.
Yeah.
So last one, TOC pack here.
See here, the winner.
That was this was the Twitter handle. TOSD. Don't know.
I can't do anything with that one. I'm sorry. The MC's stumped.
Yeah. They stumped you. That's tricky. Let me look him up really quick. Hopefully he like follows Herzig or something. So this would be a good person.
Hopefully he has bridged Ethereum over on the Polygon network. No, we'll get you squared away.
All right.
Awesome. And Eric, thank you again for doing all that. Lots of good support behind this cause, and always fun when we can be degenerates and also do something good at the same time. So thank you for spearheading that.
Of course, we're blessed enough to be able to sit here during the middle of the week and draft fantasy football teams year round. So I figure, you know, the least we can do is do at least a little bit of something good with it. And everybody has different stuff that they're passionate about. I always appreciate like Dink doing the Welly Maker and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty awesome that we have a community that we like to give each other shit and have a good time, but also still clearly tons of good people out there.
Yeah. So I will say, I want to keep getting these kind of Tuesday best ball strategy shows. I'll keep those rolling until the playoffs start. Eric and I will maybe on a Tuesday, maybe another time. I think we should definitely commit to doing a big mitten draft together on stream. And then also, who knows? Eric and I was just looking at the NFL schedule. The dream is, sorry, no offense to Dalvin Cook fans, but Dalvin Cook doesn't play. We're heading into Sunday Night Football with our Alexander Mattison, Devontae Adams mini correlation live for $1 million. That's the hope this Sunday, Eric.
I am totally down for that. I may be, you know, making more of a Holka-esque appearance if that is the case, showing up after about a few too many beverages. If we have a real sweat with that kind of thing going on, but I'm really really looking forward to it. It's crazy that. That this game that we play, that I draft, you draft hundreds of teams, and then you're down to this last one, this one final sweat, and I'm like more excited about it than like any DFS contest or whatever. So definitely really really looking forward to it. It's also pretty amazing bid equity that we drafted one of the final top 160 teams on a stream, and probably everyone hated it. Like everyone probably hated
it. Oh, I'm telling you, I mean, you guys actually want to root against us winning this million because the parade we will go on for the next 6 months will be enough that you will rue the day that we drafted that team.
so true. If you think it's bad now on Twitter and the nonsense, oh my god, like I've gotten blocked by some people and stuff from way less than what will happen if we win $1 million on Sunday.
Also, what will happen, I mean, the entire zero RB discussion, the zero RB edge might be gone if that team wins it all too.
Well, that's what happens, right? Herzig won with robust running back, so that's what everybody did this year. If we win with zero running back, that's what everybody is going to do next year. But the key, what we've discovered, is draft the guy in the last round that ends up on another team and is like, you know, the third highest projected raw points running back on the championship slate.
That was the thesis of the play to begin with. Thank you again to Eric for coming on. Thank you again to Underdog and everyone who pitched in to donate stuff. We will be in touch to the winners to get you guys all squared away. Have fun drafting on Underdog. Hope you guys all had a wonderful holiday season. Stay safe out there. Enjoy your New Year's. We will see you guys next time.